What's going on? It is the Film Drunk Frogcast coming at you, not live, from the Frog Quarters in San Francisco. It's your old buddy Vince. We're back. Me and Matt saw Creed this week. Also, we went to a wrestling event. Got lots to talk about there. I also saw The Big Short and The Revenant. But first, let me introduce the folks that are joining me in the Frog Quarters tonight. We got the irregular regular, Mr. Matt Lieb.
This is real!
Hood Slam.
Oh, that's what they yell.
Yeah, that's what they yell at Hood Slam.
Yeah.
It's a reference you won't get now, but later.
And we got our favorite masshole, Mr. Stevie Post.
I didn't have a reference ready.
You don't need one, man. That's the thing about this podcast is like you can either have like references a reference ready, or a quote, or you could just be you.
Mm-hmm. Hood Slam sounds cool, though.
We keep it 100.
We keep it 100. Quit acting light-skinned.
We're not talking about that movie yet.
All right.
I got you a jam first.
Nice.
Isn't that a great line?
Yeah, it's the best line.
That was probably the best part of the movie.
Right.
And it was so subtle. Actually, that movie was filled with subtle things, but I'm sorry.
Well, I think that movie...
We're talking about Creed.
Worked, yes. Talking about Creed. Which, wait. It was all right. I didn't like it as much as Matt liked it.
You said you saw Creed. I thought you guys went to the...
I saw the band Creed?
The band Creed in concert.
Yeah.
Is that in the movie, by the way?
You know, you'd figure it would be because of the obvious, like...
It's a wasted opportunity if it's not in there.
I thought, you know, that's the thing, is like I thought that was a movie about the band Creed. And
yeah,
I was starring waiting all Scott Stapp.
Starring Michael... B. Jordan or whatever his name is.
Michael B. Jordan.
Is that his name?
Yeah, because Michael A. Jordan is Michael Jordan.
Michael J. Jordan.
What is Michael Jordan's middle? Is it Michael J. Jordan?
It's definitely J. No, I want to say it's B. His middle name.
Oh, you mean
like
the real
Jeffrey?
Michael Jordan?
Yeah. What's happening, dude? What is this? Oh, yeah, that's right. This is Creed's song about the Marlins.
So yeah. Scott
the
Stapp,
team or the
yeah,
fish?
The team. No, it's about a fish.
Scott Stapp of Creed, I believe, is from Florida.
I love your long, pointy-ass nose.
I believe, so he wrote...
I hope to mount you on the wall one day.
He wrote a song for the baseball team. Take the field,
hear the roar of the crowd. I've heard enough.
No, you haven't.
You said...
Marlins make us proud.
He's going to start naming just random baseball terms. This is my favorite part.
Wilson!
Yes. Have we talked about this before, or is this just a coincidence that you both know all the lyrics?
Oh, no. We play this song all the time.
Song I've never heard before.
We jam out.
We do this a lot, Steve.
Strike one.
A diving catch. A stolen base.
He should have said a triple play.
A triple play. Another playoff race.
Yeah, that's a good jam.
I'm sorry.
I kind of like that song now.
Yeah, that's good.
That was
But it's not as good as the movie Creed, which is...
Wait, before we talk about that...
You're right, we should wait.
Wait! I worry that there's like a Boston song like that, and that it would be a shitty like Aerosmith song sounding like that.
No,
but how good was the fucking...
It would be a fucking Dropkick song, and you know it.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't acknowledge that.
I like firemen!
And then there's some fucking bagpipes and some others.
No.
Shipping up to Boston is a shame, because it's a great song, and they've run it into the ground. But like the intro of that song, the reason it's good is because it's a Dropkick song without that guy screaming in your ear.
Yeah.
And anyway, sorry, continue.
No, I agree. Yeah. That song used to get me pumped, and now when I got into comedy, people just kept playing it for me.
Really?
And I hated it.
Damn.
Oh, yeah, I hated it so much.
That's weird. I got that too, but not with that song. I got that with Habanagila. They couldn't stop playing Habanagila, and I was like,
get it?
I'm barely Jewish. And they're like, we don't care.
Do you get it, though?
You're barely Jewish?
Yeah.
Your face begs the difference.
You motherfucker. Your face.
I was just going to say, I don't think that it's easy for an artist to do a song about a sports team. Like,
no.
That's almost impossible. Almost.
Who?
Warriors with Jesus Christ.
Too Short?
Ooh.
Oh, E-40.
Thank you. I don't know why. I just forget. That's how bad I am with names.
I'm bad. That's all I had to do.
Yeah, everyone knows E-40.
But his song where it was Nope.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah.
If you got, I don't know, if people haven't heard it, it's like the only exception to this.
It's a pretty good Warrior song.
What is it called?
It's called
It's called, I think it's, yeah, probably. Like,
probably called Warrior Song E-40. Oh, ew.
Shit. Well. I got to update my Spotify payment, so we'll get to that some other time.
Oh, right. You just reminded me. I got to update my credit card information on my Lyft thing because I had this really great Lyft driver.
Yeah.
And then I just got a thing in the mail that said my payment didn't go through, and he was so nice. And usually I'd be like, all right, freebie.
Yeah.
And then I don't think it works that way.
They're going to retroactively charge you no matter what.
And then never use Lyft again. No, that was the thing. Yeah. They're like, you better pay this or else you don't get to use Lyft anymore. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, fuck. And then I saw that, it was a nice guy. And so I got to pay him. Anyways.
I think he gets paid no matter what.
Do you want to talk? Sorry.
No, there's no way he gets paid no matter what. It's Lyft. The way they work, man, they just drain you. They drain you of your money.
One baby to another says I'm lucky to meet you.
Man, sorry. We really need an anchor on this podcast.
Yeah, we do. Otherwise, we just sing stupid songs. Yeah. So Creed, I thought the funny thing about this movie, I feel like the 90% of the reason it works is because there's like a lot of like black slang and like,
oh yeah, it's
like it feels authentic. They got the guy from Fruitvale Station to direct it,
right? It's
great.
It's,
call,
yeah, it's an authentic feeling movie. It doesn't feel in any ways like it was written by Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, well, a little bit.
Was it?
No, I don't think so. I mean, what I mean,
it feels like they had a foundation of Stalloniness, and then they let Ryan Coogler kind of go in.
Exactly,
and like,
they had a foundation of Stalloniness is probably the perfect way of putting that. And then
you ever had Stallone?
I've never had it.
It's this overstuffed pasta.
Is it
filled with HGH?
Oh, it's a real thing, Stallone. No, okay, I was like, that sounds real.
I did the same thing. I laughed and I went, oh, wait, is it a real thing? rascal.
You motherfucker.
Stallone.
Stallone was also excellent in that movie.
The thing you forget about him, he's a really good actor.
Well, that's what, you know what? My friend Joey Devine, you know Joey?
Yeah.
He said about it, it's like, he was so surprised. He's not a good actor. And the way he put it is like, it's as if Sylvester Stallone was just like, hey, yo, I've just been saving my vulnerability for 20 years.
Dude, he's been good when he's in a good movie. Did you ever see Copland?
I never saw that.
Good and stuff.
I've never seen.
He's also in my favorite SNL sketch of all time, where he works at the computer store that used to be the Orange Julius.
Oh yeah, that's great. Yeah. That is a really good sketch. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying he's not funny or he's not good at.
He also was good in like Rambo 1. I mean, we're gonna talk about everything good he did because he did a lot of good stuff.
Yeah,
but no, I mean, I think I haven't seen it yet, but I think I already know what you guys are saying because when I heard about it. I said, no. No way.
Right. Me too.
Not into it. Then I actually saw the trailer with like my arms crossed, like, nope.
Nope.
And then I was like, okay, all right. This actually seems like a good way to, you're going to do Rocky, what is it, 7?
It's a good way to pimp the Rocky 7. Yeah.
If you're going to do Rocky 7, this is the best way you could do it.
Right. And it's got like, you know, it's got like 12 O'Clock Boys in it. It's got like,
who's that?
It's got whoever that guy was saying quit acting light skin.
Dude, that guy is the the funniest part ever is the love interest who's this beautiful light skin woman who's like a musician. She's opening for this big act, and he goes, hey, you didn't even say hi to me before. She's like, I did. I said hi earlier. And he goes, man, no, you didn't. Quit acting light-skinned. I was like, that is the best phrase ever. I got to, because I can say it to white people.
Right. Yeah. No, it's like all purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. Even though
I'm surprised I haven't heard it yet.
Yeah, that's the thing is like now that exists, I'm going to do what white people do.
It's appropriate.
And appropriate.
Here's the thing. Everybody appropriates other culture.
You gotta appropriate.
We only get in trouble for it because, you know, we like take the money for it.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
But like,
we monetize it.
It is a human impulse to be attracted to things that are exotic and not part of your daily existence.
And also just, you know, great use of language.
Right.
And if you know the context of the way... You know, light-skinned people, like light-skinned black people and darker-skinned black people, that the whole conflict there that's even it's even funnier mm-hmm. because
yeah, I kind of don't understand it, to be honest with you. So she didn't say hi to him, so that was acting light skinned.
Yeah, she was acting light skinned because she was acting like she's you're better than him. Right. You know, that was the joke he was kind of making. Because
when I hear you're acting light skinned, I think like it means you're like soft or you're like a pussy or something.
In this case, it was because she didn't say hi, and then she was
right. That's where I was a little thrown off.
Acting like she was better.
You ever see like those memes where it's like Drake's the type of. Mm-hmm. N-word who that's what it is.
Yeah. This is a perilous road just,
like,
we're going down.
It just paints him as like the biggest pussy ever. Like,
well, right, yeah.
Like Drake's the type of person who makes the noise of the animal crackers before he eats the animal crackers.
That's great.
He probably wears cereal necklaces.
Oh, yeah, he rolls his eyes in the back of his head when he takes a bite of chocolate. That's what I thought you were going with, the like, quit being light skinned.
It just means like, bitch N word. No, I don't think it means bitch N word. Not in this case. No. In this case, it just means quit acting like you're better than me.
Yeah. So
we need to get Adrian McNair on this program,
right?
Because he's got a whole like, because he has to defend himself from the Kasim Bentley theory of light skinned black people.
Well, he's everything that Kasim hates. He's light skinned. He's like very like
he's he handsome. Looks
like he's handsome and he's like a jock.
Yeah, he's handsome. He's strong.
And
I mean, he's a model.
And he's real funny.
He's real funny. And he's yeah. It's so great.
I saw him at like
it's like Kasim hates him.
Yeah.
At the Black Horse Deli, which is like the smallest bar in San Francisco. It's about the size of like a living room. And he's doing this joke about where he's with his boys and he's talking about crew.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you know, we just get together and we just crew. Like when you're with your boy, like when you're
like
15, Adrian.
Yeah.
He made it into like a verb.
Yeah. Well, it was like he's talking about how, you know, you just get together and play pickup basketball.
Uh-huh.
And he's like applying it to rowing.
Yeah, I hate that.
Oh, that's funny.
You know, we just get together and we just crew.
When we crew, that's great.
Get a boat.
He does seem like he's from Connecticut. You know what I mean? He kind of has that. I mean, he just.
Well, he was when I first saw him. I think he was like. I think he'd made like the final callback to the Real World casting at San Francisco.
Are you serious?
And I was like, oh yeah, this guy is like the perfect dude that they would pick for the show.
Wait a second. I did not know that Adrian McNair was auditioning for the
Me
Real.
Me neither.
But I don't think you. Well,
I did
yeah,
not.
You do whatever
yeah, I did
you
not
do
have
for,
any yeah. sort of like surprise when yeah. I heard that at all. Like, of course, yeah.
That's he looks like so the dude, a dude that would be on the Real World.
Oh yeah, he'd be great.
He's
at
handsome.
It. Yeah. Yeah, he's light skinned, so he's not scary.
Anyway, Creed. I think
We're
the secret of it is they
Adrian
made they made all these movies about boxers where it's a poor white guy,
right?
And it's like,
yes, exactly. This is why I love Creed.
Like, the boxing world is like 75% black, and boxing movies are like 99% white. And
yeah.
then finally, they made one about a black dude, and you're like, oh yeah, this makes a lot of sense. How did this take so long?
Yeah, and not only that, but what was great was they made him rich,
right?
Which is a perspective you don't really see in, especially in sports movies.
How many other movies are there even about black boxers?
Well, that I don't know, other than the Great White Hype.
Right, and that doesn't even really count. It has white in the title. At least it's
point.
Like making fun of the idea.
I mean,
of a white
that
movie.
That movie is, yeah, exactly. It's a reaction to that. But you're right about that. I don't know. Oh, Ali.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like don't even really count it because it's a biopic.
Mm-hmm. What about...
yeah, exactly.
There's got to be one we're just not thinking of.
But that, I mean, I can think of like three white boxer movies that came out this year.
This year?
Or like in the past.
Oh,
like,
yeah, you're right. Holy
Jake
fuck.
Gyllenhaal.
There's Southpaw, The Fighter.
Holy like, shit. You're totally right.
The 8 Million Rocky movies.
Yeah, Cinderella
Even,
Man.
Even like Million Dollar Baby is like a white lady.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Raging Bull.
Right.
Oh.
I mean, yeah, Raging Bull it's doesn't count because it's one of the best movies ever made.
Yeah.
But
I mean, that's also a biopic too, so I give that
yeah.
a little more.
No, that is interesting. But what I liked about it was that it was coming from the perspective of, I mean, obviously a rich kid with demons in the movie because his dad is dead and he was also a foster kid for a bit. But like they decided to make him rich because he has to be in the story. I mean, unless he was, unless they didn't go the route of he... never knows that he's Creed's son, you know, the whole time, and then one day discovers it, and he lived his whole life as poor. Instead, they're like, no, let's make him a rich kid. Mm-hmm. And then he really has something to prove, which is, that is totally true. Yeah. I mean, in the boxing world, you probably don't have very many super rich kids who are like, I want to do this to make money, right. You know? And yeah, he does have a lot to prove. Also, because his father is one of the best boxers who ever lived. And died in the ring. And also he has to earn the name.
No, he's the best there ever was.
Right, the best there ever was, clearly.
I didn't beat him.
Yeah.
Father Time
beat him.
He's undefeated.
Undefeated. I saw that in that trailer. Yeah. That got me going, actually.
I miss my wife. He doesn't say that, but you should. I miss my wife so much. Oi!
The one in the first one that I loved.
Yeah. I'll never love anybody more than I love her. Yo!
Is she dead, that actress, by the way, or what's
No, she's alive.
I mean, that was a pretty interesting dynamic, the whole, like, mm-hmm. oh, this meathead boxer falls in love with this kind of, like, emo, this emo chick.
Yeah, yeah. You mean in the original Rocky movie? Yeah, yeah, that's probably was great. Great. I've never seen any
what
Rocky
about,
movies.
About Creed? Does he have a love interest?
He does. She's
the light-skinned girl. She keeps acting light-skinned.
Oh, right, she's right, actually... Right. So she's a musician who's gradually going deaf.
Oh.
And she teaches him
how to
live for today. Oh, because man. You never know, what tomorrow's going to bring.
You know, I have to admit...
Yeah, that's pretty cheesy.
I still like that.
I know.
I liked it a lot.
Well, Stallone is like the king of saying the cheesiest thing ever, but selling it really well.
Yeah.
I can see how on paper you're like, no, and then Stallone's like, watch.
Look at this.
Hold on, this is a classic. I don't know where that came from. That was a bad accent of that.
I don't think none of us nailed this.
None of us are trying to get it perfect. Hey, that was
good. There it is. Hey, you want to fight?
that's most of the... Like I said, I have actually never seen a Rocky movie until Creed. So
really,
never seen one. I've seen clips of all of them, or at least of most of them. I know.
I will break you. If he dies, he dies.
And I remember he dies.
My roommate in college was like obsessed.
Dude, I didn't know.
And I didn't watch him until college, and then it made me watch like all of them.
I didn't know that Rocky loses in part one until like maybe 5 years ago. And I was like, what do you mean he loses?
They're
like,
yeah,
that's the whole movie. It's like the whole movie is he loses, but he wins.
Right. That's why Rocky One's great. It's same as like Rambo. Rambo One's an amazing film.
Oh, is that First Blood?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw First
and
Blood.
It's way different than all the rest.
Yeah.
It's about like a guy who has PTSD.
Right, There's like a story and everything. Yeah,
and then the rest are all crazy. And that's kind of how I felt about the Rocky. When I watched it, you know, and I haven't watched it since then either. I'm not a huge...
I should see those. People like him. Didn't he win an Oscar for...
Yeah, he did.
Holy shit. I think he's going to win an Oscar for... or he's going to get nominated for supporting actor for this one. He had a couple moments in that movie where I cry. And here's the thing. I love to cry, but I don't force a cry. I wait, you know? Right. And then if something strikes me as emotional, I'm there. That scene.
That makes sense.
Yeah, you know, sure. So I'm an easy cry, but it has to be genuine,
right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or it has to be so manufactured that I'm like, I can't help it, they did it.
It wasn't that.
He was genuinely good. Mm-hmm. He had some vulnerable moments, and I was like...
Well, that's also the big difference between Schwarzenegger and Stallone is that Stallone, I mean, Schwarzenegger is exactly what you're talking about. It's very manufactured. It's still very fun, mm-hmm. but he never had that Stallone-ness where he was like a real actor, mm-hmm. like real writer, like real like actual film buff, even though he's like a fucking musclehead. You know?
Was he in porn?
Stallone?
Stallone, yeah. He was the Italian Stallion.
He did like right?
They called it Italian Stallion after... Rocky came out. It was called The Party at Kitty and Studs. I don't think he did. I think it was like a softcore porno.
Okay, so it wasn't. He did Full Frontal, but he wasn't doing any penetration.
I don't think so.
I watched it. No, I don't know.
At some point, I'm telling you, man, the future is movies
with penetration.
Well, they're already doing that.
No, they're not.
That's what they talk about on Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
No, it's true. It's 100% true.
Well, that was an Ali G pitch.
Was it?
Yeah, he's like, in our movie, we show the dongs going in.
We show the dongs going in, that's right. Yeah, no, I think that is the future.
Well, that's what they thought in the 70s, too.
Yeah.
But they were wrong then. It was too early then.
Yeah.
It's always, you know, people, what is porn? I don't know. When you start showing the penetration, I don't know how you're going to really do that super artistically.
Oh, well.
I don't know. You know what? I already am ready to argue against myself on that.
I'm pretty sure the Gaspar Noe movie has penetration. They definitely, like, show the dude getting jerked off and his, like, erect cock and stuff.
Did they show the cum coming up?
I don't know.
I feel like that's going to be
Jennifer
the difference.
Jennifer Connelly made a movie where like some dude comes on her this year called Take Shelter.
But is
directed
it
by her husband.
Actual cum?
Probably not.
Because there's a lot of porn with not actual cum. Like, do you guys know that one where it's the big rubber dick?
Yeah.
And it's very clearly a rubber dick. But
Spoiler alert.
What is it? Yeah, spoiler. Sorry. I don't mean to spoil it. And I'm about to spoil the ending, too. Drenches the women in cum. Like, they're just covered head to toe. And it's clearly fake cum.
Well, it's real cum. It's just that not doing it on the spot.
Yeah. Well, no, right. Yeah, they get a lot of cum real together. Cum. Yeah.
They collect it for a while.
Have you ever seen, though, a lot of collected cum, like when you're watching Bukkake, and you're just like, it turns this weird color. It's like yellow.
Right. I've seen, like, what happened to my, you know,
your pillow
stuff when I was a kid.
Those socks.
I know that color well. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. Exactly. We all know that color. You wait long enough, you get ants. That's the thing. You don't want to.
And then you got to clean your rubber butt that you keep in the closet.
Oh man, I had to clean that a lot. You know what the problem with I used to have a rubber butt.
Really?
Yeah. It was like it had the butt and the vagina, and I would switch. And it was just heavy enough so that when you were, so it was just like, slap, 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 you know, so it felt real. Anyways, don't look at me like that, all right?
It's weird, man.
I've thought about even very recently getting a fleshlight.
That makes more sense than a fake ass.
Yeah,
no,
I know.
No, it makes less.
Like, the fleshlight to me makes more sense because it's just like probably a better jerk off.
No,
but
it's
like,
not. I've tried one before.
All right, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, maybe I'm wrong, but that's where my mindset's at.
Right.
Where you're like, I'm going to pretend this is an ass.
Yeah. And then you put it.
You know what a fleshlight's like? So, you know, you're used to jerking off. You know what your hand feels like. And then you throw a fleshlight into the mix. It's like you're trying to jerk off with a 5-pound dumbbell, basically.
Oh.
Wow. It's that heavy?
Yeah. It's pretty heavy. I mean, and just like the added weight in your hand is weird. And then the fact that it's kind of like the
slippery.
It's not a finely tuned machine. Like when you jerk off with your hand,
you're doing all sorts of mechanics.
Your hand responds
softer.
And this is like trying to translate your hand's motion into this big rubber vagina.
That's too much.
Stuffed
inside. I could see that being a problem.
So it's kind of there's a lot of lag time.
What it should be
it's like when you're driving a car and the steering's not very responsive.
Should be like a Terminator hand, that like,
you know, like Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, right. Like Luke Skywalker hands.
So that's why I think the rubber
butt. But like a chick. So it's not gay. But if it's a man hand.
I think the rubber butt would make more sense.
What if you got jerked off by the Force? Would that be good?
Yeah, dude. Are you kidding?
He's not really touching you.
Of course. Oh, but it's a guy doing the Force?
Yeah.
No way, man. No way. What if someone finds out and then I have to explain it?
What if a girl uses the Force to fuck you?
Yeah, fuck you. What? To do what?
I'm sorry.
Fuck me in the butt?
Yeah. What if I use the Force on a girl? Is that rape?
That, yeah, yes, any force. Yes.
I mean, just the fact that it's called
that's
the
Hollow
Force.
Man rules.
Wait. If she consents, you can use the Force if she consents. Mm-hmm. But she has to consent.
Yeah.
You can't force the Force.
You can't force the Force, yeah. That is rape. Double that's force. Double rape.
Yeah.
Double Force. How do we, what are we talking about? Creed?
I was just going to play Matt at some royalty-free music tracks.
What? You're going to force me to...
I was going to use the Force on Matt to get him to do some royalty-free songs for us.
Well, what do you got?
I got one. It's called Retro Soul.
Okay.
It's a funky soul piano track.
All right.
Featuring vintage organ.
The problem with this... So you can play it. Problem is I never know if I'm about to rap or if I'm about to sing. And
it
also...
It just comes out.
Why is that a problem?
Well, the problem is like, if I'm preparing to rap, I'm saying things like, yo, what's that? But if I'm preparing to sing, I'm going, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I don't
want... You can't do one or the other?
I mean, I guess I'll just wait and hear the song. And also, feel free, Steve Post, also very, very good at... Mm-hmm.
This is a new segment. I didn't know we were going to
Yeah, we've been doing this.
Freestyle singing.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's what we do.
Is it about Creed?
Will.
Oh, it does sound very random.
Will. Turn it up just a little bit. I can't hear myself sing. Two friends walking hand in hand, together harmony. Two friends forever and ever, never gonna let each other be. But who is this? It's a third friend. A third friend is he. Walking down the street together. One, two, and there's three. Three friends!
I'm the third friend. Yeah. Here I come. I just saw Creed. Now I'm done with the Rocky series. Unless it gets better. I'm not good at this game.
Steve, you built me.
You stopped it.
Oh, sorry.
But I didn't feel like a rap needed to come.
Yeah, it did. No, right? You were right. You were perfect.
I had the right momentum.
Yeah. It's just three friends hanging out together. Then they go back to the apartment. They take off their clothes. Everybody's naked now and boners are everywhere. Somebody is gonna get blown. Sucking on my best friend's dick. Licking on my best friend's asshole. Eating up my best friend's shit. And now someone is eating my asshole too. It's my third friend. Three friends are in an apartment together, eating all the butt stuff. Three friends walking hand in hand.
Yo,
best friends.
This friend number three, I just jerked off of my own chest and shit while watching these two get down.
They take you down.
Got jizz on my nipples.
Short people got no reason to eat my dick. Best friends.
They're not always going to be great.
You went real scat with that one. Like, literally.
I went literal scat, not the figurative skibbity bop do. I wish I could scat. I wish I could. I wish I could sing. I wish I could, like, sometimes I listen to
Don't sell yourself
to
short.
To CeeLo?
No. I thought you were going to say Seal.
No, well, or Seal. And I go, Seal, like, though. I think I would pay money to... like change my vocal cords so I could sing perfect,
mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't do jokes ever again. I'd only ever sing songs. So what else happened in our lives, man?
We went to Hood Slam.
We did go to Hood Slam.
Yeah.
That was
listener
real.
Listener Mark.
Oh yeah, listener
got us
Mark
on the list. Great job.
Yeah,
had a good time.
Yeah. Did he tweeted something?
Probably.
He didn't.
We don't need to focus on that right now.
Well, I just realized, like, if he asked, like, how'd you guys like it? And we didn't tweet back.
Oh, yeah, it was good. Well, now we're saying it.
Yeah, I know, but our Twitter engagement,
when we first got there.
We got to engage on Twitter.
When we first got there.
Right?
Sorry,
go ahead.
Got to get that social media game on.
Yeah, fleek. Hashtag shill. Dude, I shilled out hella hard yesterday, but you go ahead first.
I thought when we first got there, I was worried it was just going to be all intros. Like, the intros are really long.
Way too long. Not nearly enough wrestling.
Someone did come out to Seal, Kiss from a Rose.
Yeah, that was dope. That was It got everyone to sing it.
Yeah, that's right. Everybody sang along.
You have to. It's one of those songs. It's
impossible.
I know
every word.
Yeah. You know what? I used to think I knew every word, and then I looked at the lyric sheet, and I said...
I made up a lot of the words
that I know.
But I know every one of them.
Yeah, even the ones you made up.
Right, I know them.
I know the sounds that I make when that song comes on.
There
I don't necessarily
be,
know what words
there
are.
Used to be a great time, isn't no one see. And you made the light on the dark side of me. And love remains a
But did you know that when it snows, my eyes become white and the light that you shine can't be seen.
That's everywhere.
And the best friend I could pay you two kiss from my best friend.
I actually just realized I know none of the words.
So yeah, I know. I just realized that
too. Yeah, I know none.
I realized what I actually knew was I finally found out that it's Graying Tower. That's the thing. But everything else, there used to be a Graying Tower.
Oh.
And I don't know the rest.
That's a weird one, you know?
That's a weird song to come out to as a wrestler, though.
Yeah, well...
Well, hey, wrestling is about, you know, weird shit.
It's about stagecraft, yeah.
It really is, you know? And some of the wrestlers were fantastic. Some of them, like, did cool flips and stuff. And then a lot of it was just like...
So it's kind of like watching BDSM porn. Because sometimes you see one guy and you're like, ooh, he's being a little rough with the other
people. Sure, sure, sure.
You know?
Yeah.
What's the BDSM? Porn.
You know, like kink.com, like you know, like bondage and shit, like
bondage, people beating people.
Okay,
yeah, you know, like the good stuff,
dominant, submissive,
the stuff that makes you come faster. That stuff. All
right.
The stuff that makes everyone come faster. You know, when it's violent.
Do you think wrestlers have a safe word where they're like, "All right, man, you actually pile drove me there, and I didn't like it."
I mean, probably.
There's a video online where they. You can hear them saying stuff.
Yeah, like, hey, you okay? Yeah, I heard that. I loved that. Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Because, you know, it makes, you know, it's like.
Because you want them to fake beat each other up, but you secretly want them to be friends.
Yeah, it's the professional wrestling is kind of incredible. Like, not in terms of like, I mean, yeah, the skill is super cool and they do a lot of, I mean, really painful stunts and whatnot, but the storylines that they weave throughout the show and whatnot, like the way I look at it is like I used to watch basketball like reality TV, because I knew every player on the team. I knew everything about them. I would read about them every day, and then I would watch them as years went on go from team to team to team to team, you know, you learn about every character, and then you learn about what happens in the off season and whatnot. But it's like it takes years before an interesting storyline develops. Like finally, like Kobe decides he's gonna have anal sex with somebody who may or may not have consented to it. And but with professional wrestling, they speed it up. They have all these like, you know, great things that
it
happen.
Never like the bizarreness of it. No matter how many times I see it, it never gets less bizarre to me.
Sure,
just the. Idea that there's this redneck kabuki wrestling it's like this redneck form of kabuki theater where they fake fight in the middle the idea of that
gets
less strange.
It's really funny. It's a really good idea. It's they decide like what's a good way of making this kabuki theater into an action thing, you know.
Yeah,
let's release some like real some testosterone, you know, some tension. And also wrestlers, great actors, you know what?
Yeah,
look at The Rock. What a great guy. That guy I think is very talented,
right? But I don't think there's any way to do a bunch of WWE shows that are live where you're, I mean, they're basically doing improv,
right?
There's no way they couldn't
it's unscripted is what it feels like. It's you know, it's like Curb Your Enthusiasm. They give you and then you just react.
I would give them credit for even more than that. I think some of it is unscripted, but some of it is scripted. And that's what I don't think people... I think like people like The Rock don't get credit. Like, he was out there writing like new insults.
Yeah, right.
Based on like which venue he was in.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. No, he was fucking like... And to me, it always reminds me of comedy. Like, he was like playing the venue. And that's why he was so good, man. Yeah.
You're weaker than a Raiders fan, right? And then he puts his hand
You know, it wasn't, you know... there was some hackiness to it for sure.
You probably shop,
but the way
down
he would do
Molly
it,
Stones.
But like, if that was like his,
the way he would do it was in the best way I think possible.
And that's because that was only part of the job. Because the other part is him having to fucking wrestle, which is the choreography. It just involved in that is
one hand. Yeah,
it's really impressive. The whole thing is really impressive.
I mean, I'm a huge fan of wrestling, but I don't watch it on TV anymore.
Well, right, you're an adult.
But first,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean that for anyone watching.
No, I
definitely
that.
A lot of adults do. I don't even really knock them, just based off what we were just talking about.
Like, yeah.
I'd almost say I'd rather you were watching wrestling than like reality TV.
Right. Yeah.
That
makes
more sense to me. Yeah, at least like you know it's all theater and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't ever. Turn up a fucking free ticket or any sort of chance to see it live. I know how like kind of cathartic it is.
Yeah,
it's so awesome. Like,
and it's
even if you don't know, like, because I don't know who's wrestling anymore. I stopped watching, you know, after like DX broke up. You know, I don't know.
I don't even know who that is.
DX. So wait, you were later than me, or you forget?
I watched wrestling. Like a little bit later when I was like 7.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, all right. No, see, I got back into it when The Rock and Stone Cold were out.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that was
Triple H.
And Triple H. That's what I'm. There's DX. Dude.
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels, my favorite of all time.
Mm-hmm. People love Shawn Michaels.
I remember Suck It real well.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Why not Triple H?
That's DX.
Triple H, though.
Yeah, Suck It. I don't love him, but I don't hate him either.
You like Shawn Michaels, though?
Love Shawn Michaels. So, yeah. Love Shawn Michaels.
All right.
What, you love Triple H?
Well, I mean, I don't love Triple H. I just remember having to like Triple H.
What's wrong with loving Shawn Michaels?
Well, I've, from what I remember, and this is 7th grade, it was you either loved Shawn Michaels or you loved Triple H.
They were together in DX.
Oh, no, they were friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. They were friends.
They still are.
Oh, like, no. See, it was
if you're going to get mad at Shawn Michaels, it's because he beat Bret Hart.
Bret Hart.
In fucking Canada.
Was he the guy who died?
And that was that whole big controversy. You ever hear that? No, that's Owen Hart, his brother.
Oh.
So, all right, so I'm like a way bigger fan of wrestling than both of you.
No, yeah. You know way more about this.
Oh, my God. That's what I'm saying.
I
like,
really
I
remember Shawn Michaels because, like, the kid.
I remember when being I was in seventh grade.
I was lifeguarding, and these kids would do like the suck it thing to each other, and I was like, "What is that?"
Yeah, I mean,
Shawn Michaels is my favorite because he was there from the beginning of my wrestling, you know, love until the end, and he was always great. Super. I mean,
did
first
he
of
die?
All, no, he's still doing it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I just don't watch anymore.
Yeah, do wrestlers ever retire, or do they?
The Undertaker.
Not a lot of them. Right? Yeah, not
oh,
a
man,
lot of
I was
them,
gonna
right?
say something really bad. I was like, do they ever retire, or do they just kill their family?
They just get or they get fired. You know, they get fired, and they don't retire from wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
That's like that whole like you know Jake the Snake.
Yeah.
Like the movie The Wrestler is like, right?
Yeah.
I never even saw that, by the way.
First of all, The Wrestler.
I need to see it. I know,
amazing.
I know.
It's a great movie.
I need to see it. For some reason, I just always forget when I'm like,
so I desperately wanted.
But it's based off Jake the Snake.
Is it?
Like, that's what
I
heard.
I did not know that.
Because if you watch Beyond the Mat, which is their like behind the music movie that they came out with, Jake the Snake just admits he was like wrestling for crack and like, just like lost touch with his daughter. Oh, like on film, he like reunites with his daughter. It's hard.
Jesus,
it's real though. You should check that shit out.
Yeah. So my favorite scene in The Wrestler is when
he's making the sandwiches
in the deli, and I really like I pushed for this really hard when we were making Whoop Dreams. I was like, Mike, what we need to do is once we're done filming here at the gathering, you need to follow like some of these juggalos back and like film them at their day job.
Yeah.
And I want that scene where like these juggalos are just, you know,
that's beyond the mat.
Doing whatever they do, cleaning people's teeth or I don't know.
And we were just never able to. We didn't have the money for that, you know.
Yeah, it's not a money thing.
Well,
what's your regular jobs though? I feel like.
What's that?
You were gonna film you guys.
No, their job.
Oh, the juggalos.
Yeah.
There was one who was like Skylar, who was a. She was a biochemist.
Yes.
Or she was in school to be a bio. Well, she could be full of shit, but she did. The only reason I would think that she was full of shit is that she ate a woman's asshole on stage.
I'm not surprised that some of them are smart.
No, I'm not surprised at all. That it's
just socially fucking.
Yeah. And like the fact that she ate a woman's asshole on stage doesn't mean she's not a biochemist. Just like you don't associate that behavior with biochemistry. But if you think about it.
She did not seem to have an aversion to germs.
No, certainly not. That's a good point. That's a good point.
Considering her field.
Considering her field. Did you see the Vice piece on the Miss Juggalette contest from this year?
No. Oh, I heard Skylar was in it.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah.
She was featured prominently.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah, and it was funny because it was like, it was so Vice. It was such a Vice piece. Like they sent this girl who like looks like an American Apparel model.
Right.
Out there, and she's very supportive.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And she's very enthusiastic about being at the gathering.
Yeah. Where was it this year?
I it's in Ohio, I believe.
The chain, yeah.
Like Columbus. Yeah, we were at the last one at Cave and Rock, Illinois, which is end of an era, really.
Yeah, sad.
I got Ben on the line.
No way!
We're going to do a Ben update. It's He's back Ben. In the country.
It's Ben.
Every time I've been on, yeah. I really like that. I'm going to take a test. Me and Ben don't know each other well, so it's perfect time. Yeah.
Yo, who dis?
Oi!
Hey! Yo,
hi!
What's up, man?
Hey!
It's Ben. It's
wonderful to hear your voices. What's going down?
Oh, nothing. We were just talking about... We're talking about Creed. We're talking about professional wrestling.
Hood Slam, bro.
Yeah, we went to Hood Slam.
I think I'm going to start a Hood Slam franchise.
You want to start your own Hood Slam?
Yeah, no, just my own team. I claim my own franchise.
Oh, all right.
That's you guys could be a tag team.
Oh, dude, I would love to be your tag team buddy.
The Double Jews, man. Yeah. We would be champs.
Yeah, we would.
If Matt and I were in Hood Slam, we would be champions. I can guarantee that.
You just ride in on Matt's shoulders.
we have to wear yarmulkes, though.
Yeah.
And probably a tallis.
Yeah, and we would serve, subpoenas to the other wrestlers.
You choke the guy out and you just lay locks on his face.
Yeah. I'd think, and then maybe some Manischewitz.
Yeah,
pour
yeah.
some Manischewitz.
Yeah. Also, isn't it Hanukkah right now?
It is.
Happy Hanukkah,
fourth,
you guys.
Fourth day.
Is it the third or fourth? It's one of those.
I think it's the fourth.
On
and Vince, thank you. That means a lot. Thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers, man. Thank
thoughts,
you.
Thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers are with us at all times.
On the fourth day of Hanukkah, my bubby gave. What do you? How did you have songs for Hanukkah?
Yeah, it's my bubby gave to me nothing because we don't allow presents anymore. That was what happened with my dad and his parents. They stopped giving presents for Hanukkah.
Oh, yeah.
And ever since then, my dad has despised Hanukkah.
So Hanukkah, is that when you get the gelt, or is that a different one?
That's when you get the gelt.
Okay. Yeah.
That's the gelt-specific one. Are we recording? Is this a fraudcast?
We are live on the fraudcast.
Ben, eat your money. your mother got you lots of good money.
That's how you practice being a Jew, is you eat the money. Now eat your money like a good boy.
It's hard not to note the imagery.
I mean, it's just so it's like people, if you ever wonder why there's anti-Semitism in the world, half of it is eating the gelt. Oh yeah, the Jews, they're the ones that eat the chocolate coins. Yeah.
The anti-Semitism part I like is that it's like we're too smart and we have too much money.
Yeah.
Fucking smart money idiots.
Yeah, it's like, oh, they're it's all this success. Yeah, it is kind of a strange thing.
I think it was the Irish, basically. Well, my favorite Adam Crowley, you have that guy on that guy, Def Rat guy, and he had like the series of
Def Rat guy is the best. He still does some stuff.
Yeah, he had the CD of songs, and one is he's just like singing an acoustic song about all the racial stereotypes, and one of the ones is an Irish value good times over family, which I think is hilarious. And I think that's part of the divide. Like there's like the goyim going out and they're like drinking and punching each other and like, look at these close-knit family having assholes over here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting thing. That it could be that. It could just be, you know, like weird hats.
Yeah, well, when you get down to it, every religion has weird hats.
Yeah, but some of them are more similar than others.
A yarmulke's a pretty silly hat.
Yeah.
Dude, every single hat in Catholicism.
If it serves zero functional purpose, at least like a baseball hat blocks some sun. Well, yarmulke's just a piece of fabric.
Have you seen the Pope's mitre?
Yeah, no, it's true. But also, the yarmulke, I think it serves one thing, and it covers the bald spot.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
I kind of feel like that's what it's for.
But what came first, the bald spot or the yarmulke?
That's the question.
What's been going on in San Francisco? Are you guys still telling jokes?
Still,
what's going on?
Still telling jokes. Still, no more Talk 9. I decided that there is no future in radio.
Shut. You know, you're wrong.
No,
you're wrong,
I know.
You're proven wrong.
For years, I thought the radio is the future. In fact, they tried to convince me of that at corporate meetings.
Did they really?
Yeah. They were like, they said something along the lines of like, listen, guys, this technology is still the most amazing technology in the world. If they
If they had discovered this technology, radio technology, now, we'd be the hottest thing. And I was like, yeah, I guess so.
That's and like such a weird hypothetical.
In this parallel universe, they discover the internet first.
Yeah. You can say that about almost any job.
Yeah. Like, yeah. if we had just discovered the railroad yesterday, imagine how amazed people would be.
Yeah. Right. Like, yeah. if dinosaurs only now started being born. Think about how dominant they'd be. They wouldn't even be dead. They'd be like they'd be the ones ruling everything.
Yeah. They'd be dinosaur radio stations.
Yeah, they had a lot of charts and graphs and figures. Have I?
Oh, Ben, that's Steve Post.
Yeah, how you doing, Ben? I wanted to say
hey, Steve Post is he the Boston man?
Yeah.
How you doing, Ben?
Super Boston accent man. What's up, Steve?
I'm good. I still got it.
Still got it.
Still good. Talk like this.
Have I told you guys about the iHeartRadio Music Festival?
Go on.
All right. This blows my mind. Speaking of corporate birthdays. Did you hear that?
You got a phone call, Ben?
Ben? Yeah, sorry, landline.
Ben, put that guy on hold. We got some important stuff to
if
get
through.
If
we just discovered the landline, we'd all be right.
If they just now discovered the telephone plugged into the wall, that would be the hottest new thing. Be like, hey, now you can have your phone plugged into a wall.
Too bad we live in this dimension.
Yeah, this lame-ass dimension. Oh, that's good.
Those things will be popping off the shelf at Sharp.
Yeah, they'd be selling like hotcakes.
Hey, Tony, you get a load of this phone, you put it in the wall, yeah. And you could go to another room, but there's a cord.
It's a new technology. So the iHeartRadio Music Festival, so you've all heard of it, right?
So this cord, it's like all tangled up, but when you pull it.
When you pull it, it goes far. It gets longer. It goes like 20 feet if you want. Sorry. It's curly like my cousin Ricky's hair. Yeah. And if you're like really thinking, you're talking and you're talking about girls or something, you can spin it in your finger. And the coils wrap around your finger. It's a new technology. If they discovered finger coil technology now, there won't be anybody.
There'd be no war.
There'd be no war because people too busy talking about girls and spinning on the finger. Dying. Spinning their cold finger. All right. So.
Why does like make turning anything into like a Guido Italian guy make it 10 times worse?
Hey, Tony. Hey, come get a look at this fucking thing over here. Hey, I discovered something. If they had discovered America now, we'd be able to look at all this land. There's so much land here. The people, it wouldn't be like, oh, America, that's old news. It'd be new news.
Yesterday's paper.
Yeah, it would. America's tomorrow's paper now. Think if they discovered Christopher Columbus would have been a totally different guy. We come here, we'd be cool to the Indian. Anyways.
Fat Tony, I love the iHeartRadio Music Festival. You're super pumped, right, Fat
Tony?
Oh,
I love the iHeartRadio Music Festival. It's a music festival that has some of the greatest artists in the world. Eminem, Rihanna, Jay-Z, Kanye, all at one fucking festival, and nobody can get tickets except if you are in advertising. That is how it works.
That's really how that.
It's a giant corporate event. I had no idea because I heard
like ads. I'd only heard like whispers about oh so and so is playing at the iHeartRadio Festival.
Yeah, right. It's like iHeartRadio Music Festival. You hear commercials on radio stations. The iHeartRadio Music Festival. Pew 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 pew. And like you're like holy shit because like you hear about Coachella. And then you hear like, oh, this year Drake's going to be there. And then Red Hot Chili Peppers. And then like 100,000 bands you've maybe heard of, maybe not heard of. Mostly not heard of.
I was like, here's who's cool right now.
And yeah.
And also Journey.
Yeah, exactly.
Playing with a young Filipino boy singing.
Yeah, they're back. And then also a bunch of indie bands with Bear in the title. So check them out. And that's the thing. And then you see the lineup for iHeartRadio Music Festival, and you're kind of like, holy shit. Like, I never really thought about it.
I wasn't really thinking that.
No. The iHeartRadio Music Festival lineup is like ridiculous. It's like seven. It's like every headliner who's like.
I heard you say Jay-Z, Rihanna, Eminem. I don't know.
It'll be like Jay-Z, sure. Rihanna, Eminem, Kanye, Adele, fucking like anyone you could name. And Adele, they're there. And then you're kind of like, wait a second. What is this thing? Mm-hmm. Why doesn't everyone I know who goes to music festivals go to this festival? And then I talked to my boss about it. And he was like, oh, well, it's more a corporate event than it is for regular people. Yeah. It's like just it's basically, it's a tool that's used so that advertisers can go and see these artists and so that the iHeartRadio people can go, radio is still the top thing in the world. And everyone goes, okay, cool. And they all clap. Rihanna comes in on a fucking helicopter. Yeah, and it's like, it's basically a trade show. And it just amazes me that like you sometimes forget
it's like the USO or something.
You forget how corporate all of those musicians are because of the fact that like at the end of the day they gotta be played on the radio. Mm-hmm.
They have to play the advertiser's birthday party.
They have to play the advertiser's birthday party.
I tell you, it just sounds like they're playing for the troops, you know.
That's
like,
yeah, it is.
Hey, I know your job sucks and it's gonna be gone real soon, yeah. But hey, it's Rihanna singing Umbrella.
Yeah, yeah. They're like,
cheer up. Did you attend this? What brought this to the front of your mind?
Oh, I was just thinking about
radio.
I was thinking about radio, and I was thinking about the death rattle of radio, and I was thinking about how you know, in trying to, you know, hold on to their dominance of the music industry, they put on this giant festival,
right.
that's just to convince advertisers that.
So Ben, I do want to ask you about Europe, but before I do want to talk about this, like the idea of the death rattle of old culture. Like I've been thinking about this a lot lately, especially with Trump.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I feel like there's a lot
hold on. I want to say I'm going to help make America great again, okay? Thoughts and prayers.
You're on right side of history, buddy.
Yeah.
You're part of the solution.
Hey, someone's got to do it.
Right.
Hey, thoughts and prayers.
It certainly won't be Barack, Hitler, Obama.
But so Trump, he says new crazy shit every day. And so like half the people in my timeline are like, we got to get madder about Trump. Like yeah. He's saying this shit. We got to march in the streets and get out there and really point out how outrageous everything that he's saying is. And like that's how it used to work.
Right.
I don't think it works that way anymore. I think like he does that shit just to stay in the headlines every day.
Right. At this point, I mean, yeah, the reason he's saying all this stuff is because he has a base of people. He's playing to his base. He knows that his base is super down with like some straight xenophobia. Like right. Like straight talk xenophobia. I almost appreciate a little bit because it's kind of like they're calling themselves out. It's like they finally have like unmasked the KKK. And they're like, oh, are we?
I can't even hide it anymore.
Yeah.
I like that it's always the media's fault.
Yeah. Right. The media's trying to paint us as some sort of hate mongers or Nazis.
All I want to do is kill black people.
Yeah, exactly. All I want to do.
What's wrong with that? Why can't I say that? I should be allowed to say that.
This is America. America was founded on killing the Browns. Yeah, it is kind of it's nice to know that you can now readily identify a lot of the xenophobes. Like maybe they're coming out, but it is kind of scary. How many of them there are. That's, to me, is the scary thing. Because, do you guys hear rattling?
What are you doing over there?
I hear a lot of it, yeah.
What are you doing, Ben?
That's me rattling?
No, it's you with all your
No, it's not me rattling. Watch. I'm going to stop moving. Oh, I guess it was me.
Yeah, it was you the whole fuck.
That whole thing.
No, but I feel like...
Hey, just like the Jews, blame rattling someone else for the problem.
Sound like pills in a bottle, and I had this pill bottle in my hand. So weird.
What? Uh-huh. I don't know where my phone charger went.
I don't know. I think if I can just chime in here.
Yes, please.
I love that I'm going to now weigh in on American politics after I just talked about coming on my own chest.
Well, that's kind of the
freestyle.
This is our format.
Yeah. And you didn't just talk about it. That was like a year ago. Like in broadcast time.
I think that, Trump is playing to that crazy side that he knows he can get riled up and people talking. But I do think it's going to just kind of almost be the end of the Republican Party as we knew it growing up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to have to change because that has started to be like what Trump is. Now I hear it again. I won't.
All right. Anyway, continue.
Well,
it's like someone's chewing into it, right?
It's definitely you, Ben. What's happening over there?
Really? Oh, I'm just walking back and forth. I'll sit down.
Okay. Stand still. Don't move.
I'm not moving anymore.
No, I don't remember where my point was going. I think...
You think the Republican Party is coming to an end?
I think he's... I don't think that it's coming to an end, but that he's going to make them finally...
have to confront the xenophobes? Like, have to distance himself from a base that straight up wants a call for deportation of every Muslim in America.
And everyone keeps giving Trump a bunch of credit for being, oh, he's just saying how he feels. We love that.
Yeah.
But I think... he's saying what a lot of these fucking crazy, you know, teabagger people are want him to say.
Right, yeah.
And that's going to blow up in his face. So they're going to stop kind of, you know, dealing with the tea. And I'm optimistic. Either that or it's going to be the exact opposite. Where now Republicans all act like Donald Trump. But I think it's going to blow up in his face and that the teabaggers are going to be looked at as stupid fucking people of the past. Yeah. I don't know. I'm optimistic.
I think you're not wrong about that. My optimistic side says that what's going to happen is
I don't know why I'm optimistic about it.
No, I think you're not wrong. It's my optimistic side says that this is kind of the kind of like we were talking about a death rattle. This is like the death rattle of the far right, almost fascist level xenophobic racists that exist on the right that we haven't confronted really directly in the discourse.
And he's forcing us to.
He's forcing us to, because at some point you have to realize there is this huge base on the right that straight up is like, I would just feel better if we deported all the Muslims.
They wouldn't just say it. Now he's just saying it.
And now that people are saying it, the right has to confront that. I think they do. But my optimism says that you're not wrong, Steve.
My optimism means that that's just too much.
But I'm talking about strategy wise, in that I think we're all playing by this old playbook where we can just like shame him into shutting up. Everybody remembers Howard Dean, and we're like, oh yeah, everybody just made fun of him, and then he basically died. Like,
he's
he had to go away
immune to that
the next day. Now with Trump we're just like, oh, if only we just shame him more. And it's like, clearly there's something different going on where the more you get outraged, it's
because he's
like
literally shameless. Right. The problem is you're playing into the game of a troll. You're feeding the troll.
Exactly.
The more you feed the troll, the bigger he's going to get, and the more he's going to be like, I got to top myself. And he really did top himself. That was the thing. I thought he was are you playing with a slinky?
Or? I'm not even moving. I'm not even moving.
I think it's something on the line, but I can't fix it. Sorry.
I can get a different device.
No. Fuck it. At this point,
those rainmakers. It's looking great out of a paper towel roll.
I'll go grab the laptop. I'll call back in.
Sorry, Ben.
So
you shamed Ben into getting a device.
I didn't mean to.
I don't even know him. I'm making fun.
No, I do think that that I don't even know what I was saying. What was I saying?
About feeding the troll.
Oh, feeding the troll.
Like Kamau Bell, he wrote a thing on Facebook how he's like, oh, white people got to come out and be like,
you can't be a troll forever, right?
Trump doesn't represent our race. Blah, blah. Right, and I kind of think we've been doing that nonstop since he since he came out. And I don't think I don't think that stops him. Like,
you don't think it's going to you don't think there's no shaming him into submission.
I think we have to just not pay attention to him and not write about him when he says a crazy thing, it's not really news because he says crazy shit every day. Yeah. So it's kind of like, all right, well, yeah, we know you're a horrible pandering troll. Like, who cares anymore?
Yeah. I think the scary thing about it is that while he is only appealing to these really, really far right fringe fucking nut jobs, is that there is enough of them.
But don't you think part of it is that he appeals to people because they've heard of him? Like, I think a huge part of it is the fact that he's on the fucking news every day. I don't think he's the most popular. It's just like, for a lot of people, that's the only one that they've heard of.
I think he's tapping into something that is...
There's no candidate that any Republican would would be that you can even stand behind.
Yeah. What's up, Ben?
I mean, yeah.
Oh, hi guys. How's Donald Trump? How's Donald Trump doing?
Jesus Christ! Yeah. That was so fucking loud.
I fixed it.
Oh, that was great.
Oh, did I just rape your ears?
You just raped our ears. That's your job, though, man.
It's not really my job. It's just, you know, it's how Jesus made me.
It's just it made you an ear raper.
I think it's kind of perfect. Because where are we going with it? I feel like we're just kind of
we're done. We're done with that.
We're getting pretty redundant on that.
Oh, I just wanted to say, like, I didn't get to make my ultimate point was that he's Hitler, and at this point, like, we should just start calling
him Hitler.
I
don't necessarily think he's Hitler, because I think Hitler actually believed the shit that he was saying. Or I think Trump is just like, I think he just is a balloon that gets filled with attention.
I think Hitler, or I think Trump, sorry, I get them mixed up. I think Trump believes every word he's saying. I think he is now saying,
I don't think he has beliefs other than he wants to be popular and have people say his name.
Matt, what would Gary and Fremont, if you were still working at Talk 9, what would Gary and Fremont think of Trump?
I think Gary, right? I mean, I don't know.
I really want to see Trump, Gary from Fremont, 2016.
Yeah.
The ticket.
I mean, I don't know. I guess he has to, you know, be here. But I don't. Hey.
Oh, he just walked
hey,
in.
Hey, this is Gary from Fremont.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Long-time listener, first-time listener. I was just wanting to say that I'm a real big fan of Trump. Here's the thing. First of all,
what is it about him that appeals to you?
The honesty. I feel like most people these days they're not honest about about. Let's be real.
I mean, this is a safe space here, Gary.
Can I be safe?
Yeah. Oh, you're safe.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
Is this how he sounded? For some reason, I feel this is way more southern than Gary from Fremont.
Yeah, I thought so.
It's been a long time since I've heard my own voice.
Gary sounds more like this.
No,
Does he have a song about his friends?
Hey, this is Brandon from Fremont. How are you guys doing?
Hey, how are you doing?
Hey, so I guess we're talking about Trump. I am a big supporter of Trump personally. I think there's got to be someone out there who's talking about the Muslims. Here's the thing. Muslims, they're everywhere. They cause all sorts of violence. They own the banks. They own the government.
Are you sure that's Muslims?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's Muslims. anyways, point I'm trying to make here is, Trump is one of those guys who's just going to tell the truth about what I'm feeling.
And you want that.
Inside my heart of hearts. Uh-huh. And finally, I feel like we can just say it.
Yeah, it's nice to just finally...
This is just me being honest. Have I lost my ability to do these voices? I feel like when I was doing Tom Waits earlier, I fucked up my vocal cords so bad.
Yeah. You broke yourself.
That I don't. I don't think I. I don't think. Anyways, gotta go. Bye.
Are there any royalty-free corporate hits since Corporate Birthday? That was...
Hey, we tried. You know what I have to say? This has been an entire episode of me failing at my job.
Oh.
It's like we did a few. I did a little Randy Newman. I did a little Tom Waits. And,
I can't lie. I feel like I'm responsible.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault. No.
Because when I came in, I had good intentions, but then
It's not your fault.
Yeah, he's just such a skeptical New Englander that
it's not your fault.
He just exudes the opposite of yes and.
No, I no, but
you say no, but
Mr. Vince.
I missed. All right, anyway, I was trying to press the it's Ben button, but I missed it.
Oh,
it's Ben.
Need to practice man in the boards, bro.
Yeah. So you have been in Europe. Tell us about your travel. First of all, what is the pulse? You've been taking the pulse on the ground in Europe for months now.
Okay, yeah.
What are they saying about Trump out there?
So it's not very political over there. I mean, they don't really care. They probably just think he's sort of a buffoonish dude. It's more a window into America than anything specific to Trump, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like fucking crazy racist Americans. They just can't stop.
Oh, it sucks.
Well, it's like 40% of our country, so it's a lot of humans.
Yeah, but at the same time, I
guarantee you fucking 40% of their country is the same thing, it's just way smaller.
Well, yeah, also...
I'm telling you.
Also, yeah, look at France's elections, I think. Didn't Marine Le Pen win, like...
40% of people are fucking retarded.
They have a party that's like avowed fascists in France, and they took like 40% of the
Europe definitely still has their own racism issues. They're more laid back, I think, than Americans are a little more high strung than most Europeans.
What about anti-Semitism? Everything I hear, it's on the rise in Europe.
I
only got put into like two or three ovens, so it wasn't that bad.
The Muslims are fucking that up for him.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll go. Yeah. Otherwise, they'd be right
on
track.
I could hide behind that one. It wasn't exactly wearing a yarmulke around town, but I...
Yo, people know.
They could smell it.
They look at you and they know. They say that guy right there is one of those Jews. You can tell from the claws in the nose and the horns.
You got to put your money away when the Jews are around. They'll take it.
All the Jews, they'll eat your money right in front of your face. Not think twice about it. They go right in front of you. They start eating your money. They go, I'm sorry. Was this your money? It's not yours anymore. It belongs to my digestive system. Anyways, you owe me interest. Where's the rent? That's what they do. They take the rent money and they feed it to their children. They make matzah out of your money.
You can still do that voice pretty well.
Yeah, for some reason.
Yeah, somehow that one survives.
This one still
the
works.
Waste experience.
Yeah.
It's sort of the, what about John Lennon the Jew? That was a pretty good one.
Hello. I'm Jewish John Lennon. I like to eat the money. That's my favorite part of making rock and roll records. Is eating all the money afterwards. We sold 100 million records, and I ate every penny.
You said you were bigger than Jesus, didn't you?
No, that's because Jesus was very small. He never had much money, so he couldn't eat, get big and fat like me. Jewish John Lennon.
An accent you guys would like. I did go to a soccer game in England, and they had super like Cockney accents.
Oh yeah,
so it was basically like a bunch of Jason Stathams in the crowd. It was awesome. It was like, oh fucking hell, fucking hell, the whole game. Oh, you guys would have loved it.
Fucking it,
I can't do it.
Alive.
So, where all did you go?
Most of the time, I was in Madrid in the nation of Spain. So I was there most of the time, just sort of kicking it.
España.
Working out, walking around, taking naps.
Dude, that's what they do. They like take naps during the day.
Yeah, siesta.
Siesta.
They love being out super super late. Like it was too late for an old man like me. They would party
till how late?
They would go out from the house at like 2 a.m. and then be out till like 6.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, but it made no sense because they were just like doing stuff hella late. So
wait a second. So when do they sleep?
Well, this is more on the weekends. So during the week, they're pretty mellow. And then on the weekends, they just stay out till like 6 in the morning. More the younger.
They got it right, man. I don't think we have the sleep thing figured out. I think they...
No, I think they're doing it right, too.
I think the rest of the world has a much more relaxed attitude towards napping in general, which I love.
Right.
And my story that I've told probably like 5 times now is being in Croatia. We're at, we just ate a shitload of food. We're drinking beer. We're at this house. And I'm like, I'm trying desperately to stay awake so I'm not like the passed out guy at the party. And I'm doing that thing where I like nod off and jerk myself away. And this Croatian guy, Basho, puts his hand on my shoulder. He's like, Vice, it's okay. He's like, he goes, Vice, don't fight it. It's normal here.
Wow.
I was like, oh my God. That's and then the best you
woke up.
Heard.
Did you wake up with a dick on
your
head?
Yeah, I did. He dicked me.
I didn't see how that was not going to end. Yeah.
He totally dicked me.
Yeah. Don't fight it.
Yeah.
You had your shoes on.
Just relax.
This is my accent from Croatia.
Just close your eyes.
Yeah. Just close your eyes.
That's going to happen. Don't fight.
Don't worry about it.
So, Ben, what was your favorite place?
I can't stop. It's just too easy.
I'm super gay. Oh.
You got a dick on the face.
That's my Travolta. Which works.
I did stay with a Frotcast listener, Tom. Thanks, Tom, if you're listening.
Tom!
Tommy boy.
For letting me park up at your place for a few days. That's where I went to a few English soccer games.
Nice.
Wandered around England. London is cold, though. Cold and dreary.
You guys just get like wrestling and parking tickets from random listeners?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. At Stevie Post likes free shit on Twitter.
So, but
you had free shit on Twitter.
You were in Spain for how long?
Spain was about 2 months. So I was in Madrid most of the time, went to Barcelona, went to Ibiza.
I've heard of that place, but I don't know where it is.
I do.
Where is it?
It's an island off the east coast of Spain in the Mediterranean.
It's like a big party island, right?
The east coast?
The east coast of Spain, yeah, like closer to Barcelona.
Near New York?
Yeah, remember, right by New York.
E! Entertainment used to have a show like E! At Ibiza.
Oh.
And I used to jerk off to it when I was like 13 years old because it was just a bunch of girls in bikinis doing shots off each other.
Damn, I love
jerking. Did you see a lot of topless women in Europe? Were they just all naked there?
That's what I know about Ibiza.
One beach we went to. We went to another island right next to Ibiza called Formentera. Super cool if you're in that part of the world.
Yeah.
And there was one beach there that was just like topless. Everyone was topless. Some people were full nude, dudes and ladies.
Is there any beaches where you go and then immediately someone starts sucking on your pecker? Like a girl though, or a guy who's like, but like is mostly a girl.
Which part?
You know, like they have a dick, but the rest of them is fine.
they're kind of feminine.
I kind of personally, I feel like I'd rather have sex with a you know, a woman who has a dick. Than a man who has a vagina.
I was just going to say.
Yeah.
Really?
Of course. Clearly. Wait, hold on. Of course. Of course. I'm not attracted to men, but I am not unattracted to dicks. The thing is if there was a perfect woman, Jessica Alba, and she's got a dong, I'm gonna be like, would choose that over fucking Ryan Gosling's pussy.
I might choose Ryan Gosling's pussy. Yeah,
I like the pussy. I'm sorry.
Hold on. I'm thinking about it this way. Like,
it's
all right,
a magical thing.
Like a guy keeps his dick but then gets boobs. I'm thinking about a girl who keeps her vagina but gets rid of boobs. No, I would fuck that first.
No, we're not talking about that.
That's what I'm talking about right
we're
now.
We're talking about
that? What about in that situation?
Wait, if it's a guy, well, because
a girl,
the reality
kept
is
her vagina, but got rid of her boobs. She got she has a man's
she
chest.
She got a boobectomy.
Uh huh.
And she wears like a fake mustache.
Right.
would you rather fuck her?
Listen, it all depends on the features.
Dude with boobs.
The person, they're all people. We're talking about,
of course, but I'm saying it's a hypothetical
transgender
situation.
Transgender people, if the transgender person looks female.
We're talking about the face.
No, we're talking about the face. We're talking about the whole body. Everything is female, but then you've got a dick.
Yeah, you like that.
That is way, more attractive to me than Vince Mancini. With a pussy. I'm not going to eat Vince Mancini's pussy because it's like he's all muscly and fucking he's got body hair and stuff. That's not attractive.
I'm not that hairy. You wouldn't eat my pussy?
I would not eat your pussy, dude. And it's only because.
Would you eat my pussy?
No, because you guys aren't feminine enough.
I'm more feminine than Vince.
You're not more feminine than Jessica Alba.
So you would suck Jessica Alba's dick?
Hell yeah, I'd let her fuck my butt too. I'd let her come on my face, dude. We're talking about Jessica Alba here. We're talking about Dark Angel? Are you kidding me? She could fuck my face. I mean, to me, that is a... It says more about... Because the penis does not make...
Vince, do you know any people to get that going? Like Matt and the Jessica Alba with the dick series?
That would take a lot of money on Kickstarter, I think, to get that going. Man,
to fuck.
We might be able to fund that, though. We could
fund like $500 million on Kickstarter.
Wait, Jessica Alba would have to then
get Jessica Alba a dick.
I mean, that's a lot harder.
Yeah, they'd have to make some scientific breakthroughs.
I'd rather just, you know, like have sex with Jessica Alba regular style. But if she had a dick,
you had your druthers.
If she had a dick, I'd suck her dick. Let's be real here.
Okay.
Jessica Alba?
Look, I think we know where you stand on this.
Where I stand is I'm not that unattracted to dicks.
Okay.
But I am,
you know,
I am,
you've made your case.
But I am more
the prosecution can rest.
Vaginas are like, they're great, right? I get it. I like vaginas. But I can only imagine a vagina in between your legs, Vince. And thinking about how gross that is.
The only way you can imagine a vagina?
Is it because my thighs are too vascular?
I'm thinking, yeah, your thighs are too vascular. Your vagina, first of all, it would be, I could tell it would have like, it would be sweaty. You'd have a sweaty vagina. There'd be like lips. The lips would be weird. Like I think about
your... Why do you think my lips would be weird?
I think your lips would be weird, dude. I think they would be. I feel like your vagina would always be like a little bit open, and so there'd always be like little fuzz balls in it. And stuff. But then I think about like a delicate woman. Kate Upton.
Yeah.
I think about a beautiful Kate Upton. I think about how well she would take care of that dick. Like, it would be a clean dick, dude.
Think it'd be circumcised or uncircumcised?
I mean, I think she would get it circumcised, but that's only because, you know, she cares about, like, she's someone who I could see, like, getting a labiectomy just to make everything look good. I bet she could also cut, I think she'd be cut, and I think it would be clean. It would probably be, like, pink, and it'd have to go in my mouth. And
Matt, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Okay, so this is a serious question.
I'm ready.
Jessica Alba and Kate Upton have dicks. Would you have a three-way with them?
Yeah, of course. Yes, in a second.
Do you even have to ask that question?
I would let them Eiffel Tower me.
I think he's pretty open about the fact that he's...
I would totally be a rotisserie chicken.
You would be a wobbly capital H.
Yeah, I'd be a wobbly capital H. You know, but only because like I'd be like, oh man, this is... I mean, Jessica Alba and Kate Upton together.
Well, one more question. I got to go, but one more question before I go. Would you fuck Jessica Alba with Vince Mancini's pussy?
Wait. So Jessica Alba, I look at her legs, but it's
just gross. Imagine Vince Mancini having.
I mean, I would, because I'd be like, she's very attractive and
but she's got fuzz balls.
I mean, I'd wash out the fuzz balls, you know, I'd probably use my mouth and spit a lot.
Wash out. Fuzz
balls. Oh, you can wash the fuzz balls, dude.
Do you wash out fuzz balls before you fuck?
Do it with your mouth, and you just swallow them. Oh, I'm sorry you have to go.
I gotta go on this note.
All right,
Ben, it was nice talking to you again.
Stevie Post, we love you.
Bye, yeah, Steve. Say hi to Tom Brady for me.
I will.
Keep us posted.
Hey. That was back-to-back great jokes, Vince. Yeah. You got anything?
No, I got it.
No? Good? Yeah. Oh, thanks. But yeah, I'm going to go do the Tabernacle at Piano Fight every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday at 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
In San Francisco.
So all the
anyone's listening live. Yeah.
You're late. What did you do?
You know what? It would be cool if there was some sort of technology that put out audio shows live.
Imagine if that had been invented today.
If that came out today, it would be huge.
All right, thanks, guys.
See you later, man.
So, Ben, I did want to ask, I mean... we keep interrupting your travel stories, but I really
want to... it's all good. It's just good to be back on the Frogcast, you know?
Yeah.
I'm so glad to hear your voice again.
But every European I talked to, I asked them what their favorite place was, and they all said Barcelona.
For Spain, I mean, I personally liked Madrid a little bit more. Really? Barcelona's awesome. I mean, it's just a little bit different. Barcelona's got beach. It's got a little more touristy stuff, and I thought it just had a lot more tourists in general.
Yeah.
So, but no complaints about it. I just liked Madrid a little bit more. Also went to Italy. There's some cool cities in Italy. Rome's
Italy.
Cool. Italy.
That's tight. Did you have pasta there?
Yeah, a lot of pasta.
Because I went to Italy once, and I had pasta there. And my God, it was so good.
Really good pasta.
It was so good. And ever since then, I've had pasta, and I've never thought it was this good. Did you have that experience?
I had that pasta.
Yeah.
I did go to a few crazy Italian restaurants where we got like the antipasta, and they brought like 12
antipasta. What's antipasta? Is that like
it means before pasta in Italian.
Oh, I thought I meant against pasta, because in English it means against.
Mm-hmm. Like, antipasto.
Like anti-Semitism just means before Jews.
That was the better time. The
long, long ago.
Yeah, the better times.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it expanded your mind? I mean, did you become, like, did you go to Europe and just become a better person? Just
antipasta. I know about that. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I just, I became enlightened, Vince.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I enjoy traveling. I think going to other parts of the world's fun. You were in Europe. It's cool, right?
Yeah, I love it. I'd go back.
Yeah, so it was. I didn't make it to Vince's part of Europe, Croatia. But there are cheap flights over in that part of the world. Italy's cool, good trains, good food. But and then I went to London, stayed with Tom, Frockass Tom, up in London.
From,
went to
Tom
some
from London.
There.
If you guys are ever in London, look up Tom. Tom.
Yeah, look up Tom. Tom Mike.
Yeah.
What was your other question, Vince? I apologize.
What was my other question? I mean, what was your...
What'd you learn?
What was your favorite experience while you were there?
I'm big on sporting events, so I went to a bunch of soccer games. That was... All of those sort of collectively were really fun. Went to a Barcelona game, went to a few Real Madrid games. And I went to a few games in London. So as a fan of sport, that was pretty enjoyable.
Did the Spanish do the thing where, like, the black guy kicks a corner kick and they throw bananas at him? Because I know they do that over there.
I did not witness that. They do have a lot of anti-racism, like, ads playing during the games.
That's
like,
good.
it's sort of like the NFL stuff, right? Like, remember when NFL had the domestic violence with Chris Carter crying for some reason?
That was such a weird ad.
Yeah, it's like just say no or, like, don't do it or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So it was more of a PSA like that where it's like, don't do racism. Right. Racism is mean.
The problem with those PSAs, it's kind of like the truth ads where it's like, those anti-violence ads, as a person who doesn't beat women and would never really consider it, I'm like, why do I have to watch this ad? Like, you are just bringing me down with this crap, and I hate it. And it's kind of the same thing when they got the smoker lady, and she's, like, dying, and she's got the thing up
her throat. How can they say it doesn't?
And you're like, give you cancer. All this.
Well, and,
please
well, and then
stop.
The truth is anyone that's, like, a beating people up, like domestic abuser, is going to see that ad and he's like going to think, you know what, it is a bad idea. I need to change
look
my
at
ways
and go, oh, that's bad,
damn it, all this time I thought it
was
cool.
Pretty sure it was good. No, it is kind of weird to think that that would actually sway anybody from domestic violence.
You gotta raise awareness, Matt. Okay,
well, you know,
and as a cancer survivor, it really hurts me that you're, you know, not so big on raising awareness.
That's a good point. Raising awareness is pretty important. Although, from this perspective of you got the kids watching, and the kids might have people in their lives who are bad examples, and then they're watching their football player heroes, and then one of them says, hey, don't beat women. Like, that could have an effect.
Yeah.
I could see that.
I mean, I think...
Overall, it's not negative, really. It's just...
Well, it brings Vince down.
That's the thing. It's like, well, it couldn't hurt. And you're
it
like,
couldn't,
right,
but it's not a very effective way.
Right.
Yeah,
and it's always a Band-Aid sort of thing. Like, a lot of our dudes are like beating up their girlfriends or wives. Okay, what do? Put out an ad saying don't do it.
Yeah, and just the ones who do it, they're on the ads like, just kidding, I didn't do it.
Before we go, I did see The Big Short this week.
Oh, what? So they're still making movies, huh?
Yeah, they are. Did you read the book? I read the book. This is a great, great book.
Dude, if movies came out today.
If they invented movies today.
People would be like, they're really long TV shows.
I had some airplane movies.
Oh, which one?
Straight Outta Compton.
Oh, yeah, that was long and bad. Go ahead.
What?
You didn't like it? I enjoyed it.
You didn't like Straight Outta Compton?
I didn't like it.
What?
You spend 45 minutes waiting for him to die from an AIDS cough.
Yeah.
She's like, just fucking die already.
Oh, Tommy. Yeah. Oh, just fucking die already. What's up with this guy?
For a guy named Easy, he sure goes down hard. Kill me.
I enjoyed it. It's as a... fan of all of that era of like Death Row and Tupac, like them throwing in Tupac and Snoop and stuff like that, I thought was fun. It would have been cooler if they had some real cameos from the guys.
Yeah,
maybe they thought it would have been too silly, but some of that would have been pretty cool. I don't know. I enjoyed it.
Watched
Trainwreck. I enjoyed that.
Yeah,
it's with all the Apatow movies, they're all a little bit too long.
Well, and it's I wish they could have put out an Amy Schumer movie without just like 35 minutes of straight pandering.
Fair. I laughed though. I'm a tough
dude. She's funny. I mean, she's great. Like, I love Amy Schumer, but I didn't
see the movie.
I didn't need it to get the Apatow treatment, I think.
That's fair. It was too long. Like, that's my problem with a lot of the Apatow movies, is they're like over 2 hours for that type of movie.
Yeah.
It's like, bro, let's cut out some of this stuff.
When I'm watching an Amy Schumer movie, I'm not thinking, man, you know what would make this great is if there was a John Cena cameo and a LeBron James cameo and a cameo. It's like, all right, Judd, maybe you hang out with some celebrities on your own time. Like, you're famous. Like, you can do that. We don't need to have it in your movie. How about that?
LeBron was pretty funny, I thought, though. Yeah. I like with LeBron, but I actually thought he was funny.
Yeah, like the scene where they're playing basketball, I enjoyed. The other ones I could have done pretty much without.
That's fair. That's a fair assessment.
It's funny because LeBron James is saying. All right, so but anyway, The Big Short. You know, it's all about the housing crisis. And I thought it was very cathartic, having graduated from college at the time that I did, and probably you too, Ben, maybe Matt a little less so. But I just remember graduating from college, and like every douchebag frat bro that I knew had gotten some sort of mortgage broker job. And yeah. These guys were making so much fucking money.
Yeah.
And you're like, what do you do during your day? And you're like, and they're like, oh, they basically laugh about sticking immigrants with these fucking horrible loans with, oh yeah, I fucking, you know, this farm worker that didn't even speak English, I stuck him, you know, with this adjustable rate.
Jesus.
You know, they weren't, I don't think they knew that it was like a bad loan, but they definitely.
Well, they, of course they knew, right? Isn't that the point?
Well, no, because.
Well, no, the little people didn't know that it was going to fucking crash everything. They're right. Just like, everyone gets a loan. We're making money. Fucking awesome. Oh, who cares?
Basically. And it was okay. Like, and I remember graduating from college at that time and just, you know, if you weren't in that industry, you were making no money and just fucking struggling really hard. And you're watching these people who were like so amoral and doing this, like doing all this shit that you didn't understand, like all these,
right.
You know, like this bullshit mortgage brokering and.
Takes money to make money, Vince.
Right.
Okay. That's what I learned in the school of business.
Yeah, and then the brilliance of The Big Short is he basically wrote a book about the financial crisis from the perspective of the few people who bet against this horribly fraudulent market. Mm-hmm. So the whole time, it's like this delayed gratification where you're watching these people making money, and you're like, no just God would allow these douchebags to become rich, and this is...
Hey, like, anyway. thoughts and prayers, Vince, okay?
Right, and you're sort of just waiting for the reckoning, so the story is structured in this very cathartic way where you're sort of rooting for it all to go away, because it's almost like, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah. You're like, God, when is God going to turn these people into pillars of salt?
Yeah.
And, and it really brought me back, and just remembering that time period between like 2003 and 2008, it was a fucking really weird time that no one really talks about.
Yeah.
It was just like decadent, where we had all this, the weird, like George W. Bush war shit. It was, yeah.
Was it a good movie?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, I've read a lot.
It's kind of hard to go wrong with Bale and Pitt and who's the third guy?
Carell. Yeah. And Gosling. Gosling was great.
Oh, yeah. Baby Goose is awesome.
I wouldn't fuck his pussy.
It also did a thing that I've always advocated for biopics to do, where they're sort of open source. Uh-huh. Where like there's some scenes in Big Short where like Ryan Gosling looks at the camera and he's like, okay, it didn't actually happen this way. Yeah. It happened this way, but blah, blah, blah. And then they just carry on with the story. So it's basically telling you where they took creative liberties.
Oh,
I like that.
That's interesting.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. And like American Splendor sort of did that, where they cut in real footage. And I'm like, what the fuck? American Splendor did this so well. Why hasn't anyone tried to do that since? Right. Selma did it a little bit. And then I think The Big Short, this is the first time anyone's really made a big effort to have like an open source biopic. So that was great. And
like transparency, bro. It's the new hashtag content.
Right. And if you've read a Michael Lewis book, it's hard to imagine someone making a movie out of it, because it's like, it's 25% narrative and then 75% him explaining this really complicated thing to you.
Right. Okay.
And they did an amazing job incorporating both of those into a movie. But I think as someone who was in the job market at the time when, you know, there was all this free credit. Like when we went to college, there was this idea that, oh, you just go to college and you get a good education and you do well in school and you're going to get out and, you know, you're going to get a good job and you're going to make a living at it. Mm-hmm. Like that was still a thing.
Yeah.
When we went to college. And then I remember graduating and you're like, oh shit, now what? And you had a bunch of shit jobs. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, like at least in Southern California, there was these people that never went to college and they were like, oh, we're gonna get a bunch of these stated income loans, which is just you state your income, no one checks it. They give you a loan, you buy this fucking house, and then you sell it like a year later for twice the money. And there was people that were just millionaires, you know, Jesus. Based on that.
Fuck.
And there's a lot of good scenes where, you know, they go to Florida and Steve Carell's talking to the stripper and she's telling him that she's got five mortgages. And like that was a thing that people did.
Jesus.
Hey, real estate is the wave of the future. If they only invented real estate today.
And they invented it now, people would be like, look, we can live inside these places.
Yeah.
They'd be like, I didn't even know it's a tents my whole life.
And it's funny because it was like, living in San Francisco, you think about the tech, people that work in tech, and it's kind of the same thing,
right?
As, because, you know, in the early 2000s, it was mortgage and no one, if you didn't try to work in that industry, it seemed like super complex and confusing. Like, oh man, I feel like I don't have any job skills because I don't know how all this like mortgage market works. And it's kind of the same thing in San Francisco now with the tech, where you're like, I don't understand why these companies that make chat programs are worth $1 billion. Right. And there's all these people that have these jobs where they explain what they do. And you're like, I have no idea
right. What
that is. I don't know what that means.
Or why it's worth
something. I don't know why someone's giving you money to do that, but it seems like it's working.
Yeah. Well, I want to see it only because I love Adam McKay's movies.
Really?
Yeah.
I was very skeptical.
But that's the thing, is I want to see Adam McKay attempt to do a movie like this.
He knocked it out of the park.
I knew it. I knew he would.
I did not expect him to.
He's got I think he knows what he's doing. He's someone who makes movies and he lets the funny people be funny.
Right, but I thought it was going to be like a little too improv heavy. I thought it was going to be a little too jokey, especially for The Big Short, which is a very concrete book about how all that shit went down.
The one thing I was worried about is like, you saw The Wolf of Wall Street, right?
Yeah.
There was like part of when I was watching The Wolf of Wall Street, I was like, I feel like they're letting, I felt like some of that felt like some unscripted weird moments in that
I just
movie.
Felt like they let Jordan Belfort get off easy. I think the problem.
Well, yeah, no. Other than that, what I mean is there was like, because Jonah Hill was in it, and there was kind of this feeling of like ad-libbing happening.
Yeah.
And I remember feeling a little bit annoyed that there was like this, it felt super ad-lib.
Mm-hmm.
And I was worried. I was like, I bet The Big Short is kind of like.
Right. That. And I was worried about the same thing. There's a couple moments where you're like, all right, you might have taken this a little too far. But
right, right.
For the most part, it was pretty great.
Yeah. I'm going to see it then. Hey. Is it still in theaters?
It comes out, I believe, this Friday?
It's not even in theaters yet, bro. Yeah.
Bro, you got the...
I got the advanced hookup, son.
You got the... Do they give you a DVD of it?
No.
They give you a screener?
No.
I
need to join a film... The problem is I haven't never wanted to join a Film Critics Association because I don't want to like... When they come out with their awards every year and it's like, oh, the LA film critics picked this movie as their best. I don't fucking care. No one cares about that.
Oh, you don't care about what fellow critics are picking, bro?
No.
You don't care about your craft?
No. What about the dude in the beret?
Like I don't think criticism should be a thing that involves consensus at all. Like I think criticism, it should be anti-consensus. Like you
don't tell me you're anti-award show, bro. I mean, that's the pinnacle of... movie making or award shows.
You're pretty critical of criticism.
I am very critical. So but the problem is you have to join one of those to get the screeners, which are nice, and so I'm probably gonna join one of them even though I hate it.
Join the one that gives you the screeners.
Mm-hmm.
Do that
anyway. See The Big Short. It's very cathartic if you graduated college between 2000 and 2008, I think.
I graduated in 2008.
Yeah. So you got out when you graduated from college.
2007.
They had YouTube. They had Facebook. There was already sort of this this idea that tech was going to be a thing.
Right.
Whereas I think when when I graduated college, no one knew what tech was going to be yet. The internet was just still sort of like the Wild West.
Yeah.
And
Wiki Wild.
That wasn't
Wiki Wild,
that wasn't like a
Wiki Wild, Wild
that
West.
Wasn't a career path
Jim
at
West.
The time.
Desperado.
It was still like you're still trying to be part of some dying. You're still trying to be part of the radio.
No
those
tango.
Things,
you don't know. Want nada. None of this.
Thank you.
Gunamis. Brother Artemis.
It's been.
That was back when we had to walk to college in the snow for like 50 miles.
It wasn't that long ago, but when you think of it in terms of the internet, especially, like you forget that there, we didn't have any of this shit.
Oh yeah, we didn't have the internet in our pocket all the time.
Well, we couldn't get out and become like a social media manager for fucking Kodak and like run their or whatever, like you know. McDonald's. Like
is
you
that it? Are you mad because you have never made it to social media manager events? Is that your dream?
It was just we didn't know what that was going
to
be.
Dude, I wanted to be
weird.
A fucking social media manager. Yeah. Why can't I be a social media manager?
If I could have been 23 and made $100,000 a year, like tweeting for some corporation, fuck yeah, I would have done that.
Yeah.
Just let me be the social media manager. I'll tweet. I know the tweet.
The internet was the thing that you did at your job when you hated your job and you were like dicking around all day.
Yeah,
like that was the thing.
That's what I used to do at the doctor's office. Yeah. We had these computers, but they were only supposed to be used for, what do you call it? Scheduling appointments. Yeah,
doing work.
And electronic medical charts.
Yeah.
But I would get bored reading people's medical records. And so I would go on the internet. And just post people's medical records.
Hey, check out this guy's medical record.
Hey, this guy crushed his hand at IKEA. It was an occupational health center.
Anyway. Your OBGYN is a very old friend and a senior charts girl. A senior, that's a Joe King original. Anyway, all right, let's get out of here.
It's time.
I gotta go to the show. Ben.
What show are you doing? Are you performing?
Yeah, sort of. I think it's sort of like a interview podcast kind of style. So I've been practicing this whole hour and a half. So
you've been killing it.
Oh yeah, gotta get in those reps, bro.
That's right. Gotta get in the gym.
Gotta get up to get down. It went straight to the Wild West. It going straight to
my three best friends. Ben.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Hey, thanks, and thanks, listeners. If you made it this far, Kaplan Visuals is where you can find me on the internet. That's what we were just talking about. Hey, think if they just invented the internet today.
Oh, my
Dude,
God.
It would be huge.
People would be like, look at all this porn.
Hey, Tony.
Come
get
on.
Get over here. Get over here.
I took a picture of my food, and like 50 people said it was cool. I'm a.
Hey, look at that. Someone
I could be a pasta photographer.
They took a picture of Jessica Alba and put a penis on it.
Could you imagine what that dick would look like?
Oh, it would taste like gabagool.
Hey, Maron, look at the dick on this bitch.
Mozzarella.
All right, you guys. Thanks a lot. 415-275-0030. If you want to leave us a Google Voice. frotcast@gmail.com. Email us about anything. We don't care. We like to read whatever.
Yeah.
Matt, you want to take us out of here?
All right. Thank you so much for listening. Good night and eat the beans.
Thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers.